This is just pertinent in my life right now. And that's why I wanted to share it, share some things on it, because I'm, you know, have been working at staying peaceful in different times. Things come up. And but first of all, is today the eve of the European invasion? Like
June 6th, yeah.
June 6th, yeah. Tomorrow is, yeah. So
no, that was, today. Today it was.
Oh, today? Yeah. Oh, I thought it was the 7th. Okay. So anyway, that's cool. Yeah, I. So many of you prayed for our country and the freedoms and everything. I just thought that's really cool. So anyway, freedom is important. Peace is a big part of freedom, and. I want to start out, I think, in Philippians 4. We can turn there. Resting in God's peace. Sometimes it's easy to be peaceful. Sometimes it's easier for certain people to be peaceful than other people. You know, a lot of, obviously, peace is what we hold in our mind that keeps us peaceful. But sometimes situations happen that cause us not to be real peaceful. But let's look at Philippians 4, verse 7. And this is this completeness, this shalom peace. And it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your minds, your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, the key, through Christ Jesus. And this is what we want. This is what's available to us. So this is what we want to manifest in our lives. And also Colossians, another familiar one, Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace, completeness of God rule in your hearts, to which ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And it's a great place to be. It's a great place to be in our minds. But sometimes we can get a sucker punch. And a sucker punch is something that you're not expecting. Something comes up and just whams you, and you're not expecting it. Sometimes that happens to me. I have a husband. Sometimes that happens. At least it's like, no. But, and the thing about a sucker punch is, you know, it can cause you to fear. And because it happens so quickly, you're not expecting it, you're not prepared, you know, because most of my life is pretty routine. I kind of do the same things that we were talking about, you know, every day or every week or whatever. I try to do little variations just so that, you know, the adversary doesn't always know which road I'm going to be driving on or always know what food I'm going to be eating or, you know. But the thing about that is that it can cause fear. And we don't want to have fear in our lives, right? We know that fear can lead us on a downward path, a downward track. And it all mostly happens between our ears. It's how we respond to the sucker punch. And so I was thinking about that. And I was thinking how, you know, just to have this peace rule in our hearts. And then I thought, how does this happen? Or what are these different ingredients to have us not be peaceful? I think we all really know what peace is. We know God's love and God's peace. We've learned it through the Word. We know when we put the Word on, we have that confidence in our believing. And then we have that peace that passes all understanding. And so I thought maybe we can look up a few different words. I haven't looked at this in quite a while. I wanted to look at the word terasso. And there's different forms of terasso. And let's go to Luke. Luke 1. Let's look at Luke 1 first. And this terrazzo is Via terrazzo, which Via goes right through, right? Right through the middle. Via terrazzo. Thoroughly, to be thoroughly terrazzoed. Luke, there. 1. We're going to start at verse 27. And it says there, this is Mary. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled, and that's that word, terrazzoed, at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Here, she was experiencing the privilege of privileges, something that, you know, had been her people, had been waiting for generations. And all of a sudden it's happening to her. And what happened? It just went right through her like a bolt of lightning, thoroughly terrazzoed her, agitated her, caused her to fear. The angel had to say, fear not. So that's what agitation, trouble, sudden fear, sucker punch, or whatever can do to us. Let's look at John. We're going to look up a couple more. This is terrazzo. That was dia terrazzo. This is terrazzo. To trouble, to disturb, to agitate. And this is a little example of the agitation. John 5. And let's see here. Let's start at verse 6. Start at verse 4. And an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first after troubling the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled, and that was the same in those other two spots, that terrazzo, disturbed, agitated, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. But so that troubled, you know, it's a like an agitation, a disturbance. You can imagine kind of like a whirlpool or something. You know, there was a cue to when to get into the pool. And so that's kind of just to have a mind picture of that. Or I thought about rocks going, water going over rocks real fast, real violently, you know, can get agitated, and then little whirlpools can start in a river and stuff. An agitation, a disturbance, to be troubled. Let's look at Matthew 14. And why I'm bringing these up is because, you know what? We know we get this sometimes, and sometimes it makes your stomach quiver, or, you know, it happens to us, and it can happen daily sometimes, but we've learned to stop it, but we have to also recognize it. Matthew 14, we're going to start at verse 22. Wait, I'm in the wrong place. Sorry. Here. Matthew 14, 22. And straightway, this is after Jesus had just fed the 5,000, okay? And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. So the disciples took off in a ship. Jesus is saying, bye-bye, so long, love you guys, to all these people. And when Jesus had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. He's going to go help these guys out. They're in a storm. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, terrassoed, agitated, disturbed, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. So they became concerned. They became over-concerned. They got agitated. They were peeled. And what happened? Peace didn't ensue. Fear ensued. And but straightway Jesus spake unto them and said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And so it's great, you know, I thought about in honestly this last situation I was in, it took me about 3 hours to get my brain in the right place, you know, to just chill out and go back to God and not have the agitation, get rid of it, and realize God was going to take care of me. He's going to take care of us. It didn't really matter what the situation was. What mattered was that I trusted God, that I knew that beyond a shadow of a doubt, I have the peace of God ruling in my heart when I allow it, and I don't allow the fear to come in my mind to go down all these strange little paths again. So, agitation. We're going to go to one more. Luke 24. You know, different situations can agitate us. Money, our jobs, traveling around New York City, you know, family, friends, marriages, singleness, whatever, you know, anything. Children, anything can bring this up. You know, the adversary is always trying to throw fear at us and not have us have that completeness in peace. So Luke 24, and we're going to start in verse 33 here. And when they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, this is Peter and John, and they had just walked with Jesus Christ and said, oh, how our hearts did burn within us. And returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. And they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen the spirit. They were terrassed, troubled, disturbed. And he, Jesus Christ, said unto them, why art thou troubled? Why art thou terrassed? And why do thy thoughts arise? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and feet, that it is myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. So, and he went on and showed, you know, proved to them he ate and everything, and proved to them it was him, to the point where they believed it. But again, one of the most miraculous things that happened, only happened to very few people, that Jesus has, you know, shown himself to in his resurrected body. And it was them, and they became afraid. You know, so we have to continue to keep our minds into the Word so that we're not afraid. And we keep our minds like a flint, the Bible says. And a flint stone is a very, very sharp stone. It's sedimentary. cryptocrystalline. Can't see. That means you can't see the crystals, but it's a very hard. It's a form of a mineral, quartz, chert. It's called chert, which is sedimentary rock. Means very, very hard. And that's how the word tells us in Isaiah 50 verse. Got it right here. 7. That's how we're to keep our minds. And so that means we think about the word, we meditate on it, we talk to others, each other about it, we pray together. And that's how we can keep the word in our minds, and our minds will become like steel. And then also thought about, you know, that we keep our minds like we say, we like they're locked up, like they're like a prison, like we don't let anything into our minds. And I looked up some things on a prison, and you know, we want to keep the word at our heart, but we want to have the steel walls around our mind so that when the evil thoughts or the discouraging thoughts or even the little stupid suggestions come into our minds that aren't godly, that you know, the steel walls are there that they can bounce off of. There's three types of prisons in the United States and throughout the country and around the world. In a prison, it's kind of an abstract word. It's a place where your freedom, movements, and access to basically everything is restricted. So, you know, we want to keep our minds out of the prison, but we want to keep our minds firm steel, like a prison. A minimum prison, it resembles a campus or camps or something. Pretty easy. The guys who, you know, it's like a country club, they say. You know, can't remember the guy who I'm thinking of right now who was at, oh, well, I think Martha Stewart went to a minimum security prison. Then a medium security prison restricts daily movements of the inmates to a greater extent, but instead of cells, they have dormitories, and the prison is usually enclosed by a razor wire fence. So they're not going to get out, and not too many people are going to get in unless they have special permission, special entrance in and out of that prison. Then the maximum security prison. These types of prisons are reserved for violent offenders. They are surrounded by high walls topped with razor wire. Armed guards in observatory towers shoot at anyone who makes it over the wall. So those are, most of those prisons, the prisoners spend 23 hours a day inside a very small confined room. They get their food passed to them through a door. They are like totally confined. There's nothing can get into them, and it's very rare that they can get out. And so, you know, if we want to keep our thoughts, you know, controlled, we need to be careful what's coming in, and be careful, you know, what we're speaking or what's going out. So I thought that's how we have to keep them, like a trap. You know, we keep it locked, we keep it tight. We just don't let our minds drift off and think about every little thing, you know, that's going on, because we can become fearful when we do that. Another thing for us to keep the peace is to have a multitude of counselors. That's really important. It says that in Proverbs 11:14 that, you know, we're to have a multitude of counselors. Sometimes we want to just figure out our own salvation and, you know, put it all together in our minds and, you know what, I'm right. My way is right. And that isn't what the word says. It says in Proverbs 11:14, let's see. By the, 11:14, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. you know, sometimes we don't want to talk about stuff with anybody else, or, you know, we think we don't need to bring it up, but that's what we have, you know, it's that transparency, that's that inclusion, that's that open source. We have each other to help bear one another's burdens or share victories or, you know, whatever, but it's very important that we do counsel with one another. I think you shared it with you and Daisy. You take it to the wall, right? And I'm sure sometimes you talk to other people about things too and bring others in if just two of you can't figure it out. You know, so there's that, you know, it's a great way to keep the peace. Sometimes we, you know, think it's easier to help others than to help ourselves, but we have to make sure we have God's peace ruled in our hearts so that we can help others. And we know that our times are in God's hands. And so that just helps me to keep the peace in my heart too. And I'm going to share this verse that was Christine put in the email. 2 Samuel 22:37, and it says, "Thou hast enlarged," that enlarged means make broad or make wide, "my steps," or my footsteps. And this is 2 Samuel 22:37. And the word "under me" isn't there. So when we can take, I think of snowshoes, when you can walk on top of the snow when you have these big snowshoes on. I'm not light, but if I have a pair of snowshoes, I can walk on top of the snow because they're big and they distribute the weight, right? And that's how that broad wide of our steps, our footsteps, the words "under me" aren't in the text. So that the purpose being my feet do not slip or slide, and that feet there is ankle joints. So that we're so firm, we're so firmly planted that nothing's gonna take us away. Nothing's gonna get us away from that peace of God. Not all the agitation, not all the sucker punches, nothing can take us away, you know, from how God has His love and His peace that He has for us. The other couple things that the greatest thing that we have is our fellowship with the Father. It says in First John, you know, that's the greatest thing. And that's how, when we're confident of who we are in Christ, nothing can take this peace away from us. And then we can just rest in it. And that's what God wants us to do. And we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to fear. And we continue just to dwell in that peace of God. And we let that rule in our heart. So resting in God's peace, it's available. And we the second we start feeling it or it comes at us, or, you know, we got to block it out. We got to get it out of there because we don't want to have fear ensue, because the fear just is, you know, we are not going to get positive results in our life when we have fear. And so we do that by putting the word on, by counseling with one another, and keeping our minds like those prison walls that nothing can get in besides, you know, what we want to let in, the word of God. And that we just continue to believe who we are in Christ and believe that we have one another to help each other. So that's what I wanted to share with you.